Hey everybody, real quick note on this episode. This is another of our Convergence recordings, and like the Craig Cormick episode, we did this outside. The audio generally is a lot stronger here. There's just a little bit of wind and, like, I think one or two cars drive by, but for the most part, I was able to clean it out. So on that note, I really hope you enjoy the episode, and thanks for listening.
Danger. The emergency destruct system is now activated.
Cake and grief counseling will be available at the conclusion of the test.
She's alive! Alive!
Maybe you should put some shorts on or something if you want to keep fighting evil today.
Why not just put a stake through her heart?
She's not a vampire.
Well, you'd be surprised how many things I don't kill.
We are now seeing the beginnings of another stage of human evolution.
At last, we can retire and give up this life of crime.
You and your training wheels.
Hailing frequencies are open.
Hello, sweetie.
Commencing countdown. T minus 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Skiffy and Fanny Show.
Podcasting family values with Generations Geek.
I'm Sean.
I'm Paul.
We have two special guests today. We have Scott Pearson and Ella Pearson. Hello, Scott.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. So you're part of the podcast called Generations Geek.
Yes.
And you are a father-daughter team.
Yes.
So the big question is going to be, why?
Well, I'm a writer, and should I plug right away?
Sure, yeah, let us know. Yeah, go ahead.
My new Star Trek ebook is out, Star Trek The More Things Change. Just came out the end of last month from Simon & Schuster.
Oh. Yep.
Basically, a couple years ago, I just noticed that so many of my writer friends had podcasts, seemed like a good way to, you know, do PR or whatever. And so I thought, I should have a podcast, but what can I do? And not just be just another schmo with a podcast.
Sure.
And since my daughter and I enjoy our geekitude so much together, I thought, well, maybe this is a fresh new angle, that we would do the show together, be family friendly, because all my friends on their podcasts, we're all adults, they cut loose. It's R-rated. I thought, well, maybe we can do something for all the parents and kids that enjoy this stuff together, that they could listen to together. And so we stay family friendly, and we have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You wanna add something to that?
Well, you know, people seem really surprised by it. I think a lot of people don't really have the relationship with their parents that me and my dad have. You know, we're like all the same things. We're always doing things. I think it was in the car on the way to the comic book store that you pitched the idea to me. People seem really surprised and happy when we talk about it.
Yeah. Right? Oh. Yeah, well, I mean, that was something that when you came up to me at the convention, I'd not heard about you. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
No, we're small, yeah.
But when you said you're a father-daughter team, and I was like, how many father-daughter team podcasting geek people are there? There are none that I can think of. So it is a rather unique angle to have a father-daughter team. Is that something that is very much a surprise that happens quite often? You get people going, really?
Like, yeah, a lot. And apparently people think it's, like, really cute, too, or apparently really adorable.
It's kind of cute. Yeah, you get cute points for that. I mean, not many people. I mean, like, I know one of Jen, who's one of the people who's part of the show, she's trying to raise her kids as geeks and is having moderate success. They're a little bit geeky. They read lots of books, so there's that.
Well, I did a panel on this morning called Your Child and Geekery, and one of the things that I made a point of was that I didn't set out to indoctrinate Ella that, oh, she has to be a geek. She must love Star Trek. You know, but I just, you know, I let her see stuff that I like, but I didn't push it on her. And but when I was first getting my first couple of Star Trek stories published, at one point, she was 7 or something, she said to me, what's this Star Trek thing you're always talking about? Because I had not showed her any Star Trek. I wasn't going to be the, you know.
I think I was even younger than that, because I don't remember asking that. And I don't remember, like, some of the Star Trek we watched earlier, I don't even remember.
So, yeah. And
I don't remember not liking Star Trek.
So I started her off with the animated Star Trek.
Oh,
that's
really?
An interesting answer. Thought that might be a little bit more accessible because of her age. And
I remember the episode with the giant cat. I do remember that.
Yeah. She just went nuts for it. I couldn't have imagined that she would just so crazy go for it. But I started reflecting back and realized she wasn't that much younger than I was when I first went crazy for the original series, when it was in reruns in the 70s, when I became a geek. And so it's like, I guess I just showed her the right stuff at the right time, and she was just into it.
I think that might be one of my like earliest memories. I think I just barely remember the first watching the first episode of Star Trek, which is like that's a good memory to have.
So for you, I mean, as a young geek, and obviously you got a geek dad, so otherwise he wouldn't be on the show. That's awkward, right? So what for you, as a much younger person who's into Star Trek, what for you is exciting about Star Trek? And we'll obviously bounce that question in a different way to you.
Well, I really think it applies to everyone. You know, it's set in the future, which is awesome, and they have all the tech in there in space, which is cool. But it's really diverse, you know, the stuff they can do with the alien races and everything, and everyone's really accepting. It's a really good model, I think, for what people should act like now. Yeah. So I think everybody can get into it, especially the geeks, who sometimes can feel a little bit different, a little bit on the outside. Star Trek is a good thing to watch.
Yeah. And as, Scott, for you, as I hate to say it this way, but as somewhat older geek, what about you? Because you said you started watching reruns in the 70s, so what kind of caught you? I mean, you write it now, so it's a very different experience. So what kind of got you really into it?
I think it was really just kind of the adventure that first drew me in. And I was watching it, in the early 70s. And I was watching it. I would race home after school to my grandma's, because I would go to my grandma's because my parents were both working. And I was watching it on my grandma's, because this is what happens when you're old like I am.
Pause. Okay, go.
When you're old like I am, this is the kind of memory you can have. My grandmother only had a black and white TV.
Oh my goodness.
It was the early 70s. She hadn't bought a color TV yet. And so my first memories, I didn't even realize, you know, I didn't know they had the different colored uniforms. I didn't, you know, it was, so when I finally got to see it in color, and it was a revelation. But I think it was just the spectacle of it, the space travel and stuff that drew me in. But then, like Ella said, I think that the ethical things, the moral dilemmas, those messages.
Yeah,
that
it's
you
extremely
get,
intellectual as well as being
really,
incredibly action oriented.
Yeah, it pulls you in. You know, you see Kirk and the gang trying to do the right thing, and sometimes it's hard, and sometimes they do what they think is right, and at the end of the day, they don't know if they did what was right. And so it has a reality to it as well.
Absolutely.
So what are your favorite parts of the Star Trek universe, or at least as far as the properties are concerned? Which Star Trek properties appeal most to you and why?
Because the original series was my first and really drew me in to being a geek, that will always have a special place for me. But I've really enjoyed all of the TV series in their own way. And some of them more than others, and some of them I think had more flaws than others. But I've just loved it all, and the movie adventures. There are some of the movies that I do not appreciate at all. But
fair enough.
But it's don't get me started. but I also like the first J.J. Abrams film. I really enjoyed. I understand why some of the hardcore old-timers didn't like stuff that he was doing, but I thought it was fun in a way that Star Trek films hadn't been that fun in a while. And I also enjoyed how it drew people in. I had friends of mine coming up to me, friends that aren't geeks, but know what I am crazy about, and they would come up to me and say, "Oh, I saw that new Star Trek movie, and I loved it." And that was great to see all these new people coming in.
What about you, Ella?
It's really the same. They're really, really fun. I love, even though it has flaws, I love the new designs, the recasting. I love reboots. They're just so interesting when you get to see a new cast perform the same characters. And, drawing in the new audience is really important. I grew up with my cousin, who is basically, she's like the opposite of me. She has never been a geek ever. And she said, "You know, I never thought I would say this to you, but let's go in your basement and watch Star Trek."
Converting!
Which was, it was fantastic. I mean, even if they don't maybe... I think it's maybe a little bit harder to get into TOS if the first thing you saw was J.J. Trek, but people do get into it, and that's really important. It's really nice. People are getting back into it.
I just started watching, because it's on Netflix right now, the original series, because I'd seen episodes here or there, but I never actually watched it all the way through. And it's I got this because I read one of Leonard Nimoy's books, the I Am Spock, the second one, where he apologizes for saying he's not Spock, which I thought was hilarious. And I just got really fascinated because he's telling about the whole journey of how he sort of developed Spock. And I thought, well, maybe I should watch some of these episodes he's talking about. And it's been it's actually a lot of fun just seeing how they designed this whole like universe way back in the day. And it, in a lot of respects, it still holds up. Sometimes not so much, you know. There's some acting questionable issues here or there, but
there is no acting.
That's. But you know, they do all right. They try, you know. But I got a curiosity since you're Star Trek geeks. Enterprise.
Yes or no?
Yes or no?
you haven't watched?
I have. It's just I don't remember.
Oh,
you told me that I had been watching it when I was little, and you were like telling me that I liked the characters, but I don't remember.
It was so bad, it just went away.
I don't know. I enjoyed Enterprise. I thought that they were really kind of flailing about a bit in the first few seasons. They were having a hard time getting their legs, and unfortunately, from a ratings perspective, once they found themselves, it was
too late
because that final season was I thought really enjoyable, but they made the weird decision to try to kind of be their own thing. When it first came out, it wasn't called Star Trek Enterprise, it was called Enterprise.
Yeah.
And it's like they were trying to minimize their connection.
Which doesn't make a lot of sense.
It made no sense. And then they finally realized this isn't working, and in the fourth season they really ramped up the continuity ties to the universe that the fans know, and it got so much better, but it was too late.
Yeah, it was
too late.
Yeah.
So you've come to Convergence, which has a myriad of different fandoms and interests. What besides Star Trek do you two geek out about?
And for those that are at home listening to this, the friend of our little crew here was dancing. So maybe, possibly a Harry Potter fan, but I can't be sure.
We're big Marvel universe in the film universe. We're
Tolkien.
huge Middle Earth fans. What else? I don't know. We love lots
almost
of
almost everything. I mean, a lot of stuff.
Firefly?
Yes.
Firefly.
Okay,
huge.
Good. She said
huge,
we're definitive of this.
Yes, that is a huge deal for us.
Let's see, what else? What else would be?
What are we watching
what else
lately? Walking
the
Dead.
Yeah.
Okay. Which, of course, skirts outside our family-friendly stuff. We
pretty far outside,
We talk about it occasionally.
Whoa, that was scary.
We talk about The Walking Dead a little bit on the show, but with lots of... You know,
careful language.
Well, and we say up front, this isn't for the
younger
kids.
Don't watch this with
this
your kids.
This is for the older teenagers and the parents.
It's got zombies.
It's got zombies.
Generally
it's got
not
gore,
for kids.
It's really nasty. But
and I watch Supernatural. You've seen a little bit of Supernatural.
Supernatural.
I like Supernatural.
They're going to love the Expanse series.
Oh, yes, because James S. Corey's...
Are you familiar with his books?
With the...
James S. Corey's Expanse series?
I don't know.
And if not, it's okay, because it's coming to sci-fi.
It's coming to sci-fi.
It's coming to sci-fi. It's very exciting.
Yeah.
I think this would be right up your alley.
I think I read about that, actually. They were turning... Yeah.
They're really good novels, and I'm hopeful this will be good science fiction on TV.
Yeah, finally.
Good sci-fi on the sci-fi channel.
Yeah,
I know.
It's a contradiction in terms.
Yeah.
I just made a joke this morning about how they've been going downhill ever since they changed how they spell sci-fi.
No, I've been going downhill before that.
That was really a dumb.
They just made, you know, and I get that watching bad movies can be fun in its own way, but they went on this route of just kind of purposely making bad movies that people watch because they're bad movies. And
For me, I
just feel that there's not enough time in my day to spend watching bad movies when there are so many good movies I haven't seen yet. And so I tend not to do that. Although back in the day, I used to be a Mystery Science Theater 3000 guy, but
that's a whole different kind of experience.
That's a mixed experience.
I remember watching the Sci-Fi Channel when I was a kid, when they were still sci-fi, not Wi-Fi. And they used to do reruns all the time. They play all of these sci-fi movies, like from the 60s and 80s, and all these things. Yeah. Sometimes bad ones. Yeah. But sometimes good ones. They'd play the old Godzilla movies, you know, which are great in their own way. So now they almost don't do any reruns. It's like just their weird B movies and wrestling. So we need a change, I think. I think they need to get back on track. And then bring back sci-fi.com with their sci-fiction. So let's go back to the podcast. So you've said it's family friendly. So that's an important distinction. That's an important distinction, because there, we are not a family friendly podcast. If there's somebody who's like, I want a family friendly podcast, no, we're not. We gave up on that kind of stuff a while ago, mostly because I have a friend who sometimes likes to curse, and I got tired of bleeping them out because it was a lot of work. But what are some things that you guys explore in your podcast? I mean, obviously you're talking about sort of geeky properties. But you're conducting interviews, things like that?
Yeah, we try to alternate. I don't always get organized enough to make this happen, but we try to do every other show. So we have a show that is just us talking about something, and that's usually a theme show. Like recently we did the first season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We just talked about that and how it related to the movies.
Okay.
Or another show we did recently was dragon-themed, and so we watched Dragon Slayer, Dragon Heart, and Reign of Fire.
Ooh.
And then just talked about what we thought about those movies and some other, you know, Smaug and stuff. You know, we talked about The Hobbit a little bit.
How can you not?
Because Dragon's in cinema. And then we do shows with guests. And so we bring on authors that I know. So we've had some Star Trek authors on. We just recently interviewed an author by the name of Piers Bazzoni, who is a tech author and has just done this astonishingly, just like the heavenly geek chorus book called The Making of 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Ooh.
It's from Taschen, the big art publisher.
Yeah.
And it's this glorious, definitive collection of like four books in a monolith-shaped slipcase that covers, you know, he had the full cooperation of the Kubrick estate, and it's just amazing. And it's, you know, right now it's in a limited edition of 1,500 copies that are $750 a piece.
Oh, wow.
But I believe it's going to come out in a more accessible
version
in the future. I don't know. We try to bring on various people like that. We interviewed Andy Weir, who wrote The Martian, that was on.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that was
an amazing book.
And is also going to be a movie?
Got optioned by 20th Century Fox.
We're hoping. We're crossing our fingers.
Yeah, because that would make a great movie.
Excellent. Now, what about you? I mean, what your involvement? I mean, how do you feel about working with your dad?
It's fun, you know. We basically just take it is. I am being honest. We take our like conversations that we would normally have way too late at night and just record them during the day instead. For people to listen to and hopefully enjoy.
Excellent.
We have all these conversations when we're not recording anyway. Sometimes we stop and like, we have to stop now so that we can like say all of this again.
You didn't quite answer the question. What do you think about working with your dad?
It's great. It's fun. Okay. Yeah.
It's a good balance because when I start to get nervous and obsessive about editing or something, she's more relaxed, and so I have a little bit
of experience in theater at my school.
So we kind of
I'm a little bit more chill.
Yeah,
just a little bit. I can hide the crazy, I think.
Yeah.
what
we
little
balance.
Acting skill I like to think I have, I can use to hide.
I get her to actually, you know, let's do it. We actually have to do this. Let's make the deadline. But then she keeps me a little bit calmer when I'm freaking out, because that's just in my nature.
It's a good balance. Yeah, yeah. So, okay, so we're running pretty... We don't have time.
I want to talk more about sci-fi, but I know. So, really quick, where can folks find your website?
GenerationsGeek.com.
And they can subscribe, like iTunes, all that good stuff.
There is an iTunes feed through... we're hosted by a group of podcasts called the Chronic Rift Network.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And the Chronic Rift Network...
Broadcasting from a secret underground moon base.
Exactly. And they have an iTunes feed that right now you can get a feed to, like, all of their shows. They have, like, a dozen related super geeky shows. And I don't think that we have an individual feed at the moment.
Okay.
But if you look for Chronic Rift Network, you'll find us with them. Or if you go to generationsgeek.com, we put on links, direct links to all the episodes. That makes it easy to find that way.
Awesome. Cool. Well, so thank you, Scott, and thank you, Ella, for your time and talking about your podcast, and for obviously approaching me. And now I know about your podcast. I have to go listen.
Thank you. Thanks for having us on.
Awesome. And on that note, awkward ending, and see you.
If you would like to send us hate mail on this episode or any other topics we've covered, you can do so in a number of ways. You can send us an email.
SkiffyandFanty@gmail.com.
You can send us a tweet.
@SkiffyandFanty.
Leave a comment on the blog.
SkiffyandFanty.com.
Go to Google Plus.
Shawnee Jen.
And or Facebook.
The Skiffy and Fanty Show. Our intro music comes from Time Flux by Revolution Void. You can check them out at freemusicarchive.org.
Another weak human afraid to face death.
I fart in your general direction.
France, different planet.
The Force will be with you. Always.
This is Ripley, last survivor of the Nostromo. Signing off.